my friends. This is Pastor D, and you're tuning in today. Walk in faith and not in fear. And I want to thank you again for tuning in. Let me open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you, and I pray that you could use me, and I'd be willing to be used by you as a vessel to bring forth your word. Lord, I pray that each and every one here today listening to this message, Lord God, that they may be able to glean something from it, Lord, maybe to open their hearts and minds to something new, maybe to enlighten them a little bit more towards you, Lord, grow a little bit closer unto you, and hopefully maybe someone somewhere down the line will come to know the saving grace of your son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for all in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 and amen. Again, I just want to thank you for tuning in. You know, scripture come to mind. I'm cheating today. I preached on this yesterday, and I'm pretty much kind of re-hitting some highlights I used towards my sermon yesterday in service at the church. Like I said, this is Monday. I record Mondays, try to, and I sit at the church in my office within the sanctuary. It's my sanctuary within the sanctuary, I always say. But anyway, scripture I kind of kicked off with yesterday was John 14:21. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him." Wow. See, so I guess I want to, like I said, yesterday I spoke on obedience. Not so much as obedience to a church or the church, which that helps, but obedience to your walk with God. And I guess I can just start by opening up by saying this. When you come to know God, as you obey him, he accomplishes his work through you. See, I don't even know how to know. I don't even know where I want to go with this today, to be honest with you, my friends. You know, let me use Moses as an example. There's a couple of them I can throw out here real quick. Moses was a good one. He gave Moses a sign of you, but his sign was not seen until Moses had obeyed. And we get confirmation through following our obedience. Like Noah. Come on now, Noah. He obeyed God. Built an ark in a desert. Never seen rain, okay? Built that ark. Obeyed God. Family was saved. Then you have Naaman, who dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times in obedience before God would cure his leprosy. And then the ultimate, I spoke this yesterday, Jesus died on the cross before he was glorified. So, with that being said, there's a good chance God will require obedience before he reveals himself to you or allows you to partake in his works, if you would. You know, Matthew talks about the nature of obedience. It's actually in 21. I want to read you that today. Just a couple scriptures. 21, it's verses 28 through 30, and it goes like this. It says, "But what do you think a man who has 2 sons had come to the first and said, 'Son, go, work the day in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to a second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I'll go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two do you think did the will of his father?" They said to him first, Jesus said to them, "As surely I say to you, the tax collector, blah, blah, king of the..." I don't even care to go any farther. I think my point right there, I can build right off of that, what I want to talk about there. See, the nature of our obedience, if you would, is doing what you know, doing what we know that God wants us to do. It's not sufficient to say you will do his work. See, the truth of the matter is there are so many of us so-called Christians in this world that are more than willing to give lip service, but we don't really step out. You know, we talk the talk, but don't walk the walk, if you will. So you got to understand, and even here, it's not enough to just be in church on Sunday or to pray or to read your Bible. And you're like, oh my God, where's he going with this? No, listen to what I got to say here. It's not enough just to do that if you don't do what it says. If you don't do what he says. Jesus emphasizes this in his conclusion in his sermon on the Mount. Actually, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to jump over here. Give me a second here. Matthew 21 through 23. Where's that? 7, 21 through 23. Let me read you this too right here. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Hello, hello. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who have practiced lawlessness.'" Wow. Wow, then let me go on a little farther, actually, because this can tie in good. 24 through 26, it says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain descended and the floods came and then the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. Wow. See, in this parable, these two builders, the contrast is between those who put words into Jesus, the words of Jesus into practice, and those who don't. Think about it. To get better understanding, you can even look over a book of James. I talked about this yesterday. I'm going to bounce around here a minute here. James is what I used yesterday too, preaching or bringing forth the word. It was out of James 2. Let me find her here. 14 through 18, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, is, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you faith by my works. See, James argues from this, I don't know, common sense point, if you would, to say faith without works cannot save. Then he gives an evidence from the biblical examples from Abram and Rahab, actually. You know, you can read on farther. Hope you guys don't mind reading people's today. It says, but do you know, foolish man, that the faith without works is dead? Let me flip my page here. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac of his son to the altar? Did you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And in the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that the man is justified by works and not by faith. Only likewise was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Then he offers this kind of a startling comparison, if you would, right in the next verse. He says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Wow. See, the cost of obedience, it could run high. So amazing, like they think about when Moses obeyed God, it cost him his entire life, if you would. Obedience can be costly, too, more than just for self. Understand that. That's something I should hit on right now. Sometimes a person can be called to works, and your family may pay the price, you know, whether it be finances, relational, whatever. See, trust me when I say this. Being a pastor of a small outreach church, God may give you an assignment that will cost you time, energy, as well as money. But whether the price be large or small, truth of the matter is many of us are unwilling to pay it. But consider that cost of disobedience, my friends. When Moses disobeyed God, he didn't get to enter into the promised land. Wow, to me, that's quite a penalty. That's a terrible penalty. The worst penalty we face for disobedience is missing out on the eternal life. For a Christian, it may mean never really knowing what God can do through us. Amen? I also want to hit on this, too. Now, the rewards of obedience. See, when obedience does, what obedience does for you, it reveals what you really believe about God. It determines what God will be able to do through you. It determines whether or not if you will come to know him better. And then this brings security. You know, remember the parable about the two builders. The house of the obedient is secure. Obedience brings spiritual insight. Also, is it John 7:16-17? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but it's he who sent me. If anyone's will is to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether it was, I speak of my own authority. See, if we sincerely choose to do God's will, it is not difficult to determine what his will is. Jesus will show himself to the obedient. Truth is, see, we learn more about God and his will when we live up to what we already know. That means stepping out. Obedience frees us from that slavery of sin, if you would. It talks about, we don't have to go to it, get into it, but in Romans 6, I think it's like 16, verses 16, 18, right in that area there, sin tends to enslave us. And I hope we're all aware of this. The only way to free ourselves from the slavery of sin is to offer ourselves as slaves to obedience. This means that we have to commit our lives to serving God through obedience. The 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, I got to be honest with you. It's difficult. And it requires this deep, like total commitment. Dictionary defines it as the commands or the guidance of to confirm or to comply with, if you would. See, becoming a born-again Christian requires obedience. It is the key condition of your relationship with God. Our Lord demands obedience, and through obedience, we fulfill His commands and His statutes. See, by accepting Him as Savior, you are now acknowledging that He is the Creator of the universe and He is your Creator. Consequently, you must submit to Him as Lord. You know, that word Lord means Master. Amen? See, people, well, let me say this. Simply put, Jesus must be first in every phase of your life, all right? He must be before businesses. He must be before family, friends. Sometimes He's even before life itself. Hello? His lordship over you must take precedence before your wants, desires, and needs. To say that Jesus is your Lord and not to obey Him is hypocritical. It was by obedience to God's call that you became a Christian, and it is through obedience that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, friends, when you say you love God, you are saying that you trust Him and that you will be obedient to Him. So obedience is an act of your will. It is it's a natural result of your trusting Him in every aspect of your life. If you're going to have a difficult time trusting God, well, I'm going to tell you right now, then you will not be as readily obedient to His commands. See, by trusting Him, it becomes easier to obey. And in turn, by obeying, you will find yourself trusting Him more. That's kind of like a catch-22. See, in Hebrews, where it talks about where it lacked obedience from the Israelites was evidence of unbelief. It was Hebrews 3, I think it's 18, 19. It says, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter His rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that we're not able to enter because of their unbelief. Faith is of the heart. Unseen is the element of trust that is invisible. Your obedience is proven by your outward conduct, by not just talking the talk, by walking the walk, okay? People see an outward sign of an inward work of the Holy Spirit in you. You prove your trust in God when you obey Him. It is the persuasion of truth that results in faith. To learn obedience in your life, you must be persuaded to live by truth or live in truth, okay? By your obedience to Christ, you are partakers of His salvation. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed Him. That's Hebrews 5, I believe, verse 9. See, your bond with Jesus is His obedience through faith. You cannot be identified as a follower of His unless you are obedient. Friends, the dominant principle of the Son was the obedience to His Father, both here and in heaven. We, you and I, should have that same attitude. You know, it talks in Philippians 5, verse 6, he who has or is being in the very nature of God didn't consider himself equal, made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, becoming us, if you would, human likeness. Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to death on that cross. Humility is the attitude that should pervade in your life. It's only through humility that you become obedient. Again, this is a heart issue. Obedience begins with the attitude of your heart. You must allow yourself to be brought to the cross in order to be crucified with Christ, thereby putting to death your selfish ways, thoughts, and ambitions. See, Jesus taught us, Greater love has no one than that that laid down his life for his friends. This doesn't mean the physical death, what Jesus was or is offering to, is dying to self, placing the needs of others over our own needs. This is what he's talking about here. Friends, when you allow God access to your heart, you surrender to him completely, he will create a new heart in you. It is through your dying to self that you will be able to forget we will be able to forgive as he has forgiven. Oh, that was easy for me to say. Now, your actions are based upon your persuasion of who you are and what you have in your relationship with him. The obedience to God required in Scripture is produced by trust. Obedience is proof of your relationship with God. Amen. You know what? That's all I want to say about that today, my friends. Until next time, hey, have a blessed day and bye for now.